section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Nine of Champions looks exciting, Bound for Glory series comes to an end, and good old JR retires. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. Here's Aaron. Let's get right into the news. WWE cancels the Spain tour because John Cena is injured. Is this what's really going on here, Aaron?
This is what the dirt sheets would have you believe. It's not entirely because of that, but that is part of the equation. John Cena being injured. Let's just be honest. Cena is a major draw for the WWE. And right now, they're doing a pretty good job of help building younger superstars and other superstars. Making Randy Orton, getting them back up to that level, building up Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, so on and so forth. So this is just a small part, but also Spain may not have nearly as much interest in wrestling as we might think. And, of course, having one of the main superstars, John Cena, not being there, that kind of puts a little bit of a damper on it.
Yeah, that is I understand why they would do that, because if your top earner cannot be there, and then the fourth top earner is hurt as well, that being Sheamus, that makes sense why they would need to cancel it. One thing that I think is really weird, though, that's been going on is that Stephanie McMahon has been selling off her stock. Now, at first, I was like, oh, this is not good. But then I realized something. I thought that she got a ton of stock. Like, her and Shane got, like, all this stock. But you can't touch it for so many years. And I'm wondering if that's what all these stocks are. Because it's basically, she ended up taking, I think it was like $350,000 out. And I think she was just taking it so then she could put it somewhere. Like, pay for like a new, a remodeling of their kitchen or some crap like that. But, do you think that is a big deal that this is going on?
I don't think it's as big of a deal as people would expect it to be. I think a lot of people immediately go, oh, she's selling stock because, that's going to fall and they're not going to do as well. And that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes people will sell stocks so that way they can diversify their portfolio. Sometimes they need the money for other things. She may, as you mentioned, be wanting to put money on the house. She may want to put stock, towards college,
Kids' education.
There's a lot of things that can be going on. Until she sells enough to not own a controlling share in the WWE, then I would be a little surprised. But until then, I think that this isn't as big of a story.
This is horrible to say this, but I think the reason why she's doing it is because right now the stock is a little bit up than what it has been. And I bet, and I'm just going to say it right now, that as soon as Cena and Sheamus return, she's going to buy more stock is what I think is going to happen at the lower rate. And then when they come back, it's going to peak a little bit, which technically you're not allowed to do, but we're not stock analysts. We'd have to get a specialist on for that. The biggest news, I think, of the week is that Jim Ross retires from the WWE. But did he retire, Aaron?
He was probably forced out. Although, look, let's just be honest here. Jim Ross had not been on TV in a long time. And even then, he was on TV very sporadically. He was on to help further the Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole feud. But other than that, he was not on that often. He really wasn't. So this was kind of like okay. But what you're referring to right now is that there was a little bit of an incident at the SummerSlam panel involving Ric Flair. And Ric Flair, as we know, he is a little bit of a partier, even in his old age. And he may have had a little too much to drink, and he might have been a little bit belligerent at the panel. And WWE felt that Jim Ross was not able to control him as much as they would have liked.
Yeah, the rumor, some people say that he did hijack the panel, which I can't say that he didn't, because we did cover this and we thought it was kind of weird. But one thing also that came up is that Meltzer actually reported that there's more to the story. And I think they just wanted to get him out, in all seriousness. I mean, realistically, he can retire. He's made his money. He doesn't, you know, he's got to the point where it doesn't matter to him. But I find it weird that Vince then tweets out, you know, thanks for the 20 years of service. To me, that seems like a slap in the face. I don't know what you think about that.
I think it's more saving face. You know, it's them saying, hey, you know, we appreciate everything that he's done. And so they've got to, you know, do something somewhat nice. He'll still be associated with the WWE. I'm sure that he will. But I don't know how much it'll be. I still think that he has some good years left in him. I still think that, you know, TNA, they could use an announcer, or they could use somebody that could help them out creatively.
I was just going to say, what if he went to TNA, you know, if they're around? So yeah. The one thing that I find, yes, I still brought it up. One thing I find interesting is that the WWE is not going to compete against the NFL. And, I think previous years I was just like, why wouldn't you? You would want to compete. But realistically, they have a total of 17 games, and they've gone through they had two on Monday night. They're not going to compete with that. I mean, they had great matchups. No way. But towards, I'd say, the middle of the season, where you have questionable games, like for a couple teams that you think would have been powerhouses and they're not because of injuries, I wouldn't be surprised if they put a super show that's even better than what, you know, like they bring back like three top guys just to be on that show so people watch that opposed to football. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I agree. You know, back in 99, I remember that WCW and WWE, they combined beat the NFL on Monday nights, which is crazy to think about.
And now, also, Monday Night Football was on ABC and not ESPN.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's really big news, because that was on a much bigger, that national network as opposed to a cable network. So that's crazy to think about. That really is. But now it's, you know, kind of the opposite. You know, WWE is not getting nearly as many views as you would have liked. And ESPN is going to be raking in the dough in terms of, you know, sponsorship money and, of course, in viewers. So in this instance, I actually agree with WWE. I think that they just need to keep having really awesome storylines. They need to keep building these younger superstars, because you know what? Rock did not just all of a sudden spring up overnight. Rock was somebody who they promoted. He was somebody put into good storylines, and he was somebody that the fans came to love and came to hate and came to love again. Same thing with Foley, same thing with Austin, Triple H, all those guys. What they're doing right now is really smart, and I, you know, give credit where credit's due. WWE programming right now is some of the best programming, you know, going on just in general. And TNA, you know, they were really good last year. Right now, WWE, though, they definitely have them.
One thing I also want to point out is that over the weekend, I think it was Conscious Creed was his name in TNA, Xavier Woods, and also El Generico, Sami Zayn now, made appearances in, of course, Canada, where I think both of them are. I know Zayn is from Canada, but so is Woods. I think Woods is also from Canada as well. They got Big Pops, had a great match. Bo Dallas was there as well, which I think was pretty cool that they brought up NXT guys. So, and they all said that the shows over the weekend, the live events, you know, the house shows that are usually subpar, weren't really good this week. So thumbs up to the WWE on that. One thing also that we should point out is that the Hogan deal was revealed finally. It came out actually right after the show was released. They explained on how Hogan's deal is. And okay, this is what I don't get about it. They had a contract, and you can't just renew a contract without having him sign for it. So they renewed it, so Hogan knew about the deal, but they tried to twist it to make it seem like, oh no, him and 2K are not working together, blah, blah, blah. They found a loophole to get me in there. But what do you think about what he said on it? Do you think he was being truthful, or do you think he was just full of it?
I think that he was trying to save face a little bit, you know? I think that he doesn't want TNA to lose faith in him. And so that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, to me, it just seems a really weird situation. So let's move on to WWE programming for this week. So Damian Sandow finally gets a win. Does he?
On Raw, yep.
He does. Who does he beat?
Oh, I forgot who he beat.
It doesn't matter.
Miz. He beat Miz.
Of all people.
which was actually a really big win because when you think about it, Miz is kind of – he's become a go-to guy now for faces, and he's got a little feud going on with Fandango. But Sandow was able to beat him, which is really big, and because he's only got, I think, one other win since he's won the Money in the Bank briefcase. But then you know what they did to follow it up, Andy?
What'd they do?
They had him face Santino on SmackDown. Right? Santino, yeah. Who came back, you know.
Crowd popped. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Cobra.
Beats Cesaro, you know. Yeah, and then he beats Sandow on SmackDown.
And one thing I got to point out, Santino, just buy some new gear. It didn't fit. He's lost weight. So that's why I thought it was interesting because it was like almost falling off him. You know, and because of the singlet. But one thing also I find interesting was we had the dual one, but also RVD, I can't remember what it's called. RVD and Ryback, you know, speaking of that, faced each other. You had, you know, the one guy who gets his stuff painted from this guy. Oh, wait, they get him painted by the same guy. Interesting. I was waiting for the 5-star frog splash by Ryback, but apparently he doesn't know what the top road is.
Yeah.
But do you think it was, like, to me, it was entertaining. It's not a pay-per-view, you know, for those guys. But to me, I was always wondering what it would be.
It's exactly what we expected it to be. It's a very big contrast in styles. Those two, they put on probably the best match that they can. RVD is still a great worker. But let's just be honest here. He's getting up there in age. And he's phoning in a lot of his matches. He really is. And so when you have somebody like Ryback, who's a little bit younger, who is not a very good worker, you know, he was able to at least give his best. So, you know, kudos to him. I just really hate that this ended in, disqualification. I would love to see a mini feud between these two, to be honest. I think that would be a pretty good route to go.
Like if they're like Ryback starts, you know, like wrestling The Miz for some reason, you kind of make all these feuds come together, which would be interesting because they could do that to make a Survivor Series a setup. So you could have like RVD, Miz, you know, versus Fandango and Ryback. I mean, so you could set that up. And I think that's what they're doing. So to me, the writing itself and like how they're doing the matches, to me, it's like someone finally was like, hey, these guys from Off the Mark know what they're talking about. Maybe we should intertwine, you know, feuds, which to me makes it interesting because you have so much time. Now, if you look at like Ring of Honor, they don't have a lot of time, so they get their feuds going. And TNA, same thing. And like WWE has all this time, but they're making it so, oh, this happened on Main Event. This happened on SmackDown. This happened on Superstars. But they're all now matches to me are making sense opposed to, hey, I need you two to wrestle. And sorry, Jericho, for getting a FedEx box that had nothing in it. That's how I'm looking at it. So I'm looking at things in a better way with wrestling, which I have been negative, as everyone knows listening. Sorry, Stephanie and Paul. Just how I am. But the one thing that they did do right, and I was so excited, was Adam Copeland, also known as Edge, comes back. Cuts an awesome promo. Standing ovation. Everyone loved him. And I thought it was interesting because he cut the promo. He didn't talk about the show because Tripp came out and talked about the show. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting because Christian can't wrestle. But people want to see Christian as well because I think they're in Canada, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And he comes out all beaten up.
Yeah.
That's great because he can't wrestle. He's not cleared. You can have him look beaten up and then he's on the show and then he can't wrestle because he's so hurt now. Great. They did something right. Like, to me, this opening segment was one of the best that I've seen in a long time.
I agree. I think it was one of the best. Of course, the promo he cut on Triple H, absolutely loved. You know, and the way that he cut him off, you're not just a dictator, but you're a. And then he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He still got it out, but it was funny.
And then he also implied that he married into money, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. And that stuff just really, it made me laugh. And I actually thought that it was really great. It was nice seeing Edge back. It's one of those, and of course, broken record here, but when people take time off and then they come back, it's like, wow, I actually like seeing that guy again. And Edge, you know, he didn't need to take that much time off, but it was cool seeing Edge back and hearing him do his little shtick. you know, he hyped Daniel Bryan up, and I thought that was really great. Of course, Triple H and Orton came out, and they, you know, they said that he was going to get his. And he kind of did a little bit later. He got beaten down at the very end of the show. Great match with Dean Ambrose. And then, of course, he got beaten down by them and Randy Orton. But then he actually was able to get revenge on Orton, which was kind of cool.
I just figured out what's going to happen at Night of Champions.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, here's what happens. Something happens. Randy Orton goes for is about to hit the RKO. Big Show, for some reason, is out there. I have no idea why he's out there. He punches Randy Orton out. Daniel Bryan, 1-2-3, wins the title, then gets stripped of it. They give it back to Orton.
Yeah, probably.
So if that happens, I'm just letting everyone know who listens to our show that somehow we know that the WWE listens to our show and steals our ideas. I'm just saying. But I will say that the whole thing with Daniel Bryan getting beaten down, I'm sick of it. That is the one thing that I, you know, it's one thing if it, if it's, he gets beaten down like three times in a row, and then like the fourth time he comes out and like, I don't know, gets a little bit of a revenge. Then I'm fine with it. But it just seems like he keeps getting beaten down. And to me, the logical thing would be to have him win the title because of Big Show, but then it gets stripped of it immediately. Randy Orton keeps the title. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, and it might, you know, I think this pay-per-view will actually be a pretty good one, mostly because of the Daniel Bryan stuff going on. You know, yeah. I think that's the stuff I'm most interested in.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you'll see a banner for WWEshop.com. Just use that coupon code and make sure you click on that banner, and you're going to save a bunch of money. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. So Aaron had to step out for a little bit, so we brought Doug Hahn in for the rest of the show. So Doug, let's talk about No Surrender. The first match of the night was, of course, Styles versus Aries. So what did you think about this match? Were you excited about it?
I was excited about it, this match. I think this is their top two talented, most talented wrestlers in the in their business right now, or for TNA. And they always put on a good show. Well, I shouldn't say always. The last match was exciting as all hell. So I was excited to see them face off again.
Yeah, it was a great match. I liked the ending where Styles got him up there for the Styles Clash from the second rope. I was pretty excited about that. And you don't see people taking that type of bump, but it was a cool way to end that match. And it actually made Aries look like he got his butt handed to him because of that.
I always felt like it was really, really close. And then when it came down to that last one, it's like, that's a good ending for it. It's something a little bit more than just the normal clash. It's off the second turnbuckle, which I agree with you. To take a bump like that is just I think that was pretty crazy. Not a big fan of the clash in itself, but you know, to do that off the second rope, that there just gives that extra little push of why you can beat Austin Aries with that move. So. It gave it a lot more excitement. You knew it was over at that point, and AJ goes on.
Yeah, so the next Bound for Glory series, I guess if you want to say quarterfinals or semifinals.
Semifinals.
We had Magnus versus Bobby Roode. And this one was the one that I was shocked the most about because it ended in a roll-up.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy with how this match ended. I thought the match overall was going very well. All the matches tonight was very, very well done matches, lengthy matches, and they got to showcase their talent. But to end it in a roll up, I really felt let down in that match. To have such a good match going, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm just gonna roll them up.
Yeah, to me, I was just like, come on, that's how you're gonna get Bobby Roode kicked out. Then the next match they had after that was the Bully Ray versus Ken Anderson, which yes. I was kind of surprised that they're like, oh, let's put this on free TV. But here's my only problem with that match. I'm watching it, and they're like, we're cutting away to commercial. And then they come back, and it's just right where they left off. And, yeah. And he's and to me, I was like, seriously? Like, Ken Anderson, seriously, is going to be sitting there for 3 minutes trying to catch his breath after getting a beatdown. That was my only problem with that match. And the fact that they don't know how to put a neck brace on properly. I think they should go to WWE training school for that or something.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed this match very much. I think the ending was very well done. The one thing I kind of noted, though, was I can't remember which guy it was from Aces and Eights, goes over and pats Anderson on the shoulder after the match.
Oh, Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was, which to me didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense to me. Is this going to be one of those things where, okay, you had your shot at the or the main boss, and now you've been put in your place? I don't know. I did find it interesting. I thought when they came out, it was going to be one of those things where I was intrigued whether they would actually go with Anderson or whether they would go with Bully Ray. And I really thought they were going to go with Anderson, especially after even Brooke Tessmacher came out and gave him the low blow. I thought they would actually attack Bully Ray at that point, just to kind of make it even. But you stay with your main ride, and you go with the Bully Ray, which I don't know. I'm kind of sick and tired of having him with the title now. I kind of want to see it around somebody else.
It's almost like you forgot that Chris Sabin was a champion at one point. It's kind of
exactly.
That's what the weird part about this is. The one thing I will say. So they had a segment earlier was with Ego. Yeah, I think it's Ego is what they're called now. With, of course, it's Bad Influence plus Bobby Roode. And yeah. I thought it was interesting because in the finals match, AJ Styles versus Magnus, they came out and beat them up. And I was kind of disappointed about this entire segment because I thought that the cutaway to commercial, I thought they're going to come back and have something saying that next week they're going to go at it, blah, 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 for the main event. And instead, to me, it's like, oh, that's it?
Yeah, I was kind of let down by that too, where he comes out and he announces that they're going to go out there and take out both competitors. Well, congratulations, you came out there and you hit them. And then what? Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing came of it. They're not. I mean, I would have been happy with that if they would have came out, knocked him out, and neither of them could continue the match. Because they had such a great match against, Austin Aries. AJ just he's already spent. Same thing with Magnus, had a good match with Robert Roode, barely escaping because he had to roll him up. And now they get beaten up by these three, and now we're gonna have to have another week to finalize, and then have a better, a more epic, a more pushed match between AJ and Magnus.
Yeah, and exactly. That's exactly what they should have done. But to me, it's almost like they are like, this is what we're going to do. And then some people are like, are you sure you want to do something that dumb? And they're like, yeah, I think it's a smart move. And you're just like, seriously, dude? That's how it's going to be? Well, anyway, so it was a great match. Either way, it was a really good match. I just wish they could have got a lot more time out of it. But... Mm-hmm. And it turns out Styles wins. He won with, what's the, not the calf killer, but, I can't remember what the move's called. What he does off the top rope.
Yeah, having a hard time remembering.
But when he did it, the one thing I thought was interesting is that it looked like Magnus actually went to go put his knees up. And he still hit it. And that's why I was like, huh? So I rewound it a couple times. I was like, well, I guess... Whatever. I guess that's where it works. But so AJ Styles is taking on Bully Ray at Bound for Glory. So AJ Styles, if this was planned from the get-go, you got to give him credit. But I think this was put together at the last minute. But anyways, do you think that the Bound for Glory series was a success compared to later last year's?
Or the compared year to other years, no. I kind of... You know, I thought this one was a little bit of a letdown. I kind of would rather have seen Bobby Roode versus AJ instead of Magnus to have that kind of, you know, one, I don't even think that – I think if you could have had AJ win as a heel, then yes, it would have been a little bit more exciting. But to have AJ win as the baby face and the just – I mean – I think going back to what you were saying, where they have great ideas that are at TNA, and right when you get to that point where you just have to go with it, and then all of a sudden they trip over themselves and something else comes out and happens. It's like, really, you had a good thing going. Like when we were at the showing in Peoria and they had Austin Aries coming out as Suicide, a good thing going where you could have prolonged that a couple weeks. Not knowing who was in the suicide mask. No, we're going to just show it by the end of the show. It's like, really? You have something going. Why don't we continue it? And no, we're going to do this now. Or we're going to do this now. It's the quick changes that I'm not... a lot of this, like you said, having these matches, some of these matches don't deserve to be on... Like, I would have paid for an AJ versus Austin Aries. I would have paid to see... this final four. I mean, this is kind of your King of the Ring moment, making reference to a WWE thing, but they're just not getting the buy, so they have to put it on live television.
Yeah, and I see the point on that, but like you said earlier, I think sometimes the timing that they put the ideas out are just not the proper timing, so... Anyway, so let's move from TNA. Let's talk about WWE for our weekly topic. We're going to talk about Night of Champions. So let's go over to the key points in the card. Of course, the Shield, they are going to face whoever the winners are from the tag team turmoil that's going to be at the pre-show, which you can watch at Yahoo or whatever.
YouTube
as well. So, Doug, who do you think is going to win this match?
You know what? I'm actually excited to see that this is the pre-show match. This actually makes me want to watch the pre-show match just to know who's going to be going on to face the Shield. As for winners, I'm going to say my pick would be the Usos to go into Night of Champions and face the Shield.
And usually I would disagree with you on that, but here's my thinking why I think you're right. Is that they're taping the Divas show, and how cool would it be if the Usos beat the Shield and also Naomi wins the women's title, so they're both champions that night? Wouldn't that be like the best storyline for Total Divas?
I don't know about Naomi winning the Divas title. But yeah, they're pushing the Usos because of the show. They're going to push other people or the women's title because of the show. Personally, I think you need to keep it with AJ just because I think that's a better thing where you could have AJ run through all the people on the show. But then you could also probably make it an interesting thing by having all the people on the show vying for the women's championship. Usos versus the Shield. And you know what? I just don't get that pumped up about the Usos as much as I do the Shield. But I do think that this is where the Shield does drop the titles.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that I will agree with you. I think that even if the Usos don't win, whoever wins the turmoil, I believe they will beat the Shield.
Yes.
But anyway, so let's move on to Del Rio versus RVD. You know, I want to say I would love to see RVD win here, but I think it's going to be Del Rio winning with Rodriguez turning on RVD.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think this is they're going to do a whole setup where Del Rio sent out Rodriguez to befriend RVD and then turn on him the whole time he was really working for Del Rio.
Yeah, that's I think Aaron would also say the same thing. And next we have CM Punk versus Curtis Axel. Yeah, you know, this one I've been torn upon because I think Axel should win, but I think I will pick Punk as winning, but I really feel that Axel should win this. So what do you think?
Now is this still the elimination match with Axel and Heyman? Versus Punk.
They keep changing it, and that's the problem with this. I wish they would actually say, hey, this is, you know, what's going to happen. But
Here's my other problem with this match. It's called Night of Champions, right?
It's called Night of Champions.
Okay. And the stipulation of Night of Champions is that every person defends their title.
Yeah, and did you notice that we haven't talked about, the United States Heavyweight Champion?
Ambrose is not even on the card.
Yeah, I think they're going to throw them together. Some way, somehow, they'll throw them in and they'll be like, oh, by the way, you get to be on the card now.
I got to think that they're going to do something like that, too, where I don't know who they're going to have him face, but they'll have him face somebody. Maybe they'll even have him face, like, one of the real Americans or something. Or, let's see, no, because they're in the
correct
tag team. They'll have somebody just...
I wouldn't be surprised if they bring, like, a newcomer in, just to come in and face him. Like, someone from NXT, just bring him in and be like, here you go, wrestle.
Yeah.
But one thing I thought was interesting, that do you know where Night of Champions... Oh, wait, never mind. I thought Night of Champions was in St. Louis for some reason. I was like, TNA was just there.
No,
it's
yeah.
in Detroit.
Yeah, it's...
But yeah,
so nobody wins there. No one's going.
No one wins. So do you think that Punk's going to win this match?
I think so. This is one of them that you know what? If Punk loses this match, I'm not going to be necessarily surprised. It's going to be because of some outside interference. It'll be because of Heyman.
Now Heyman, if he does not compete, he will be fired. That's the stipulation. So it's a 2-on-1 handicap match against CM Punk is what it's.
I think this will be my call of the ending right now is going to be Punk beats Axel, and then Axel goes off on Punk and hits him with something, and Heyman gets the cover.
Now here's the one thing: the IC title is not on the line.
Correct.
That is my problem.
Champions.
At your Night of Champions, you have, oh gosh, let's see, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 belts. That, yeah. Well, 7 if you want to get technical, but 6 belts. So you have your tag, your women's, and then you have your stepping stone and your worlds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or your heavyweights. Okay. How come there's 6 matches, including the pre-show, and one of them is not, and 2 of them aren't even matches for the belts?
I don't know.
That's the one thing that gets me. And the only reason I figured it out is because I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why isn't Ambrose wrestling? That's when I finally realized, because I thought the storyline was really good, but whatever. So the match, that, and I called this earlier in the show, is that I said that it's going to be Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Now, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm going to say Orton retains, because it's just one of those things. It's too sudden. It's a storyline that can continue. Night of Champions is not one of their top pay-per-views, although I think it should be. I think this should be a one where they have the two champions go at each other. They have the Intercontinental Champion versus the U.S. Champion. I think that's what you really need in a Night of Champions kind of match. And it could build storylines there. That could be your, you end storylines at the last one. Night of Champions helps you build feuds between champions, and then other people that want to be champions. You have first contenders, number one contenders fight on Night of Champions to establish themselves as for the next pay-per-view. But Orton's going to win. Bryan's going to lose. It'll be a very hard-fought match. It'll be something where they order the big show or to do something. And let's say he even hits Orton, gets Bryan DQ'd, Orton retains.
See, I told Aaron what I think is going to happen is that some way, somehow, Big Show will get involved, punch Orton. Orton will fall down. 1, 2, 3. Daniel Bryan actually wins, but then is stripped immediately because of, or they'll restart the match, something like that, because of disqualification. I said it earlier in the show, and to me, I believe that's what they're going to do, because it's a WWE, and I think it would make the fans even more upset. So overall, do you think the show is going to turn out really well, or do you think it's going to stink?
It's a mid-show. This is something where, like, No Surrender should be a pay-per-view. This should be free live television.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I wish that the WWE would actually start doing, like, even if it's on USA, because there's nothing going on in USA. I mean, Burn Notice is done, so there's really no other shows. But you would think that they would actually say, tell you what, we're going to have a couple of these shows. You put the pay-per-views out, and I'm sorry, but if it's free and it's on USA, And even if they have no commercials during that time frame, from, we'll just say, even to the pre-show, we'll just say 6 to 10 p.m. that night. Mm-hmm. There is going to be the viewers are going to watch that, and their viewership is going to be huge. I guarantee you, if they build up the next pay-per-view, which, if I'm correct, is Hell in the Cell, I think, or Battleground, whichever one is next, that one would have higher buys than usual, because people are like, man, I just saw that and they had it on a free TV. You know, it's going to be at least as good as that. But that, you know, I'm looking forward to being a decent pay-per-view. Like I said, this almost seems like it should be a free pay-per-view, but like TNA did, but I think they messed that up on Thursday. But anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter and you follow the show at AllTheMark86, I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to this show. And for Doug Hahn, Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.